I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day. And I pray that you would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me. Amen.
From the century-old St. John's Lutheran Church of Taylor, Michigan, comes the coast-to-coast edition of Martin Luther's Evening Prayer. The message from God's Word is prepared and delivered by Reverend Dr. Richard Ziley, and this local broadcast is made possible by the generosity of hearers like you. To partner with this ministry, write Radio St. John's Lutheran Church, 13115 Telegraph Road, Taylor, Michigan, 48180. That's Radio St. John's Lutheran Church, 13115 Telegraph Road, Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R, Michigan, 48180. Or you may contact Dr. Ziley at drzeile@juno.com. That's drzeile@juno.com. Or you may like us on Facebook, Martin Luther's Evening Prayer. Any way you contact us, know that the blessing of God is prayed upon you, and we are grateful for your support. Martin Luther's Evening Prayer marks its 10th anniversary by expanding coast to coast to Bakersfield, California, Council Bluffs, Iowa, Omaha, Nebraska, Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, Scranton, Pennsylvania, Richmond, Virginia, in addition to two stations in Detroit, Michigan. We pray that you will enjoy this message from God's Word and the traditional worship that accompanies it. May God bless your listening.
It is God who executes judgment, putting down all enemy on another. We give thanks to you, O God. We give thanks for your name is near. We recount your wondrous sins. At the set time that I appoint,
Luke 12, verses 22 to 34.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, they neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. And of the Holy Spirit. Our text is based on the gospel for this day, Luke 12, verses 22 to 34, which has been read. I call your attention to the words of our text printed at the top. Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. And your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." This is our text. Let me tell you the story of Ida. Ida worried about many things. She worried about what the neighbors thought. She worried about not having enough money. She worried about pleasing her mother. She worried about the rain, whether she had enough insurance. She worried about whether she was gaining weight. She worried about buying from companies that employed exploited workers and whether there was lead in the water. She worried about what children were doing nowadays. And then her husband left her. Clearly, Ida had been worrying about the wrong things. Well, let us consider our Lord's teaching about worry based on our text today. He teaches us that worry is a sin and a curse. In the first place, worry is a curse. It's a cultural trope, a truism that everyone understands because it feels bad. Anxiety and fear are painful. And you know, the anticipation is worse than the actual experience. I learned this when I was a kid, and Mom would take me to the doctor, and I knew the doctor was going to give me an injection, and I worried about that, and I fussed at home and in the car and in the doctor's office, and I squirmed and they had to hold me down. And when the needle went in, it was over in a moment. It dawned on me later that while my pain lasted this long, my anxiety had lasted this long. And so our anxiety, our fear, our worry is what turns the pains of life into much longer pain than it needs to be. Worry can also cause us uncertainty, and uncertainty can paralyze us, so we do not know what actions to take that will help us in the situation. Many of us are shy. We don't know what to say to other people. And so in many social situations, we don't know what to say. We say nothing. The situation drags out and becomes more painful. That's one reason why more Americans report being afraid of public speaking than of dying. They just don't know what they would say and would embarrass themselves in front of all those people. Worry is a curse because it saps our strength. You know, anxiety keeps your body in readiness for immediate flight or fight. It's that adrenaline that courses in our veins. But when there's no release in fight or flight, when we're just there, ready, waiting, our muscles tense, our minds occupied, it saps our strength. It weakens us so that we are less ready for the troubles that may eventually come our way. And this leads to sleeplessness and a loss of appetite, which further drain our reserves and make us weak. That's why we say that worry affects our health. You know, long-term worry can foster poor habits of sleep or appetite, which impair us still further. And that readiness for action may lead us to mistake situations. We may fly off the handle. A minor disappointment is taken for a major setback, so we lose hope. And other people, we train other people to avoid us and not cooperate with us because we are prone to fly off the handle or misunderstand or misinterpret or take things in the worst possible way. And worry can lead to depression, to ulcers, to immunosuppression, where you become more likely to catch cold and find it harder to shake off whatever germs are going around. And worry distracts us from other things that should concern us. Like Ida in our opening story, worry can distract us from relationships with other people. We force those who care about us to share our bad feelings. And they can only take so much of that. And then they back off. We influence others who can't take it to leave us or desert us or give up on us. And it is hard to be a friend and become a friend and think of others when we are preoccupied with ourselves and what's going to happen next. Our Lord Jesus put his finger on the issue when he said, "Where your heart is, there your treasure is also. What we worry about shows what we fear, love, and trust in life. And it usually isn't God. This shows that worry is a sin as well as a curse. The truth is that few people worry about pleasing God because God is not their treasure. We may believe that God will remove our treasure if we are not good enough. That may pass for religion in many places, but not for Christ. For God gives generously to all, the wicked and the righteous. But only the latter, the righteous, still trust Him when those blessings are taken away. God provides for the flowers and the birds. Do you believe that you are worth more than these? God allows difficulties and troubles into our lives, but gives us the means to overcome. You have overcome many obstacles in your life. Hasn't God given you the means? Or do you still doubt? He who has brought you so far by faith, will He not continue to be with you in the challenges ahead? God, who made the world, also governs it and controls it. Do you believe this? Isn't it a greater thing to make the world than it is to govern it now that it is made? We believe the greater, but have trouble with the lesser faith. Our failure to believe that God is in control and that His will for us is good is the sin of worry. Adam and Eve did not believe that God's will for them was good, and so they ate the forbidden apple. For Satan came to them and said, "Can you eat all of the fruit of all the trees of the garden?" And they answered, "Oh, we can eat all the trees but the one in the middle of the garden. Don't eat that," he said, "or you will die." And Satan said, "You will not die, but you'll become like God." He convinced them that God was holding back on them, and they trusted Satan's word rather than God's word because they worried that they were missing out on something. Worry is a sin as well as a curse. But the good news is that worry is conquered in Christ. He came to proclaim the kingdom of God, that God indeed rules all things. He teaches us that all things are in God's power. He teaches that God's will for us is good. He Himself was the proof that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that you may believe in Him and have everlasting life. Therefore, our relationship with God is of prime importance, for He is in control and His will is all important. But that's where we stumble, because we know that our sin alienates us from Him and Him from us. Therefore, Christ gives Himself to remove our sin. On the cross, He shed His blood that we might be washed clean from the stain of sin. On the cross, He took the burden of our guilt and God's anger. So the thing that alienates God from us is removed through the cross of Christ. And in the gospel, the good news that Jesus came to proclaim, He changes our hearts from lesser loves to the eternal love of God. The good news is that God has forgiven our sin and gives us the Holy Spirit that we may trust in Him and live triumphantly. In Christ we are saved from both the sin and the curse of worry. Therefore you may live joyfully, using your earthly treasures to gain a treasure in heaven as you live in love toward others. as you joyfully give to the needs of others. Now, many a Christian has come to the deathbed, freed from the worry that burdened their lives. That's the final blessing that God gives through the curse of death. When we come to the end of our life, we suddenly have a clearer perspective on things. This is acknowledged by the secular saying that no man on his deathbed regrets not spending more time in the office. It points to the common experience that we regret not spending more time with our families and our relationships. Well, the Christian gains that perspective as all the things he has worked for and invested in pass away, and he has nothing to look forward to but Christ. Then he realizes that Christ is his treasure in heaven. This has been expressed by many Christians. One example is Henry Life's beautiful hymn, "Abide with Me." Fast falls the eventide, the darkness deepens, Lord, with me abide, when other helpers fail and comforts flee. Help of the helpless, Lord, abide with me. May Christ abide with you in your remaining years of life, that you may be freed from all worry, joyfully live, laying up treasure for yourself in heaven, and looking forward to being with our chief treasure, Christ, one day. And now may that peace that surpasses understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ our Lord. Amen.
But deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit with you all.
I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have graciously kept me this day. And I pray that you would forgive me all my sins where I have done wrong, and graciously keep me this night. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me. Amen. Then go to sleep at once and in good cheer.